I speak to you in the name of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, the Reconciler of us all. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture today, all of the readings are powerful, and I could be preaching here for 2 hours. So I had to be selective this morning, because it is a very rich reading. We are the people who have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And the theme of today is, for me, about reconciliation. What does that mean? And it has very many facets, reconciliation. It means, first, that God, we had drifted away as a human people. Jesus came to enunciate, to teach, and to say, come back to God. This is what God wants. God is not interested in sacrifices. He's not interested in doing things by rote. He's interested in having you know that you are love and that God loves you. And Jesus taught this, that we are to be one with God. But more than that, and that's critically important, because if you think that God is angry all the time, and that everything you do has got to try and appease a vengeful, angry God, and that's what sacrifice was all about, because God is wrathful and we're outside and everything that happened is God's fault because we've been not good enough, we are unloving. And they felt at that time that Jesus came, and before that time, and even to some extent afterwards, that everything that happened negatively to you or to me is because we're miserable sinners. And that God's wrath happened because we were not good enough. I mean, I can remember, I have an autistic daughter. She's now 44. But when she was little, and having a lot of tough times, I've actually had people say to me, it's too bad she was such a sinful child that God visited this on her. And she was like 3 when that was said to me. And I was shocked. This happened in Prince Edward Island. And I was, well, I wanted to throw up. I felt so angry. And I wanted to be angry at that person. But then I realized that that person saying that was ignorant. And I held my tongue back, and I didn't say, you're just an ignorant, whatever. But that kind of ignorance goes on when people have a sense that God is wrathful and that what we do and what we receive is because of God's anger at us because somehow we've been sinners. And the message of the scripture, both of Paul's reading and also in John's reading, is that God is a God of reconciliation, and that the chief reconciler is Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that we, all of us, have been created in love. And that we are the epitome of love. That's an important message. Because we often don't think that about ourselves. I have for many years been challenging people to look in the mirror, and I mentioned it again this morning in the Bible study, to look in the mirror and look at yourself and say, whatever your name is, I love you. I challenge myself to look in the mirror and say, Dave, I love you. Now, some people would be horrified by hearing that advice. How dare you do that? Because it's going to build you into a narcissist or some other diagnosis. But actually, it's a sense of affirmation that God created you and me, each of us, as signs of the love of God for the world. As a sign of love. When we were born, the day we were born, we were the sign of perfect love born into the world. Every newborn. And then things happen in our lives. either pre-birth or post-birth, maybe genetically or other things that start to unwind us. And we start to adapt to things that are going on around us. And we slide further away from that symbol of love that God created us to be through our parents' acts of love. But we are signs of love. And so part of the message today is for us to see ourselves being reconciled back to ourselves through Jesus Christ. We are reminded that we are the epitome of love. Let's go and look at the Gospel of John. In the Gospel today, John meets the Samaritan woman. Now, in the culture of Jesus' time, and the early church would understand this, the Samaritans were outcasted. They were like the Jews in most of their practices, except that they did not believe that the temple was the center of everything. And they actually were from the northern kingdom. They never accepted the leadership of the southern kingdom. And they had their holy place on the mountain where the well was. So Jesus actually had come to the holiest of holy places and there met with a woman who in Jewish culture was considered to be very low. Women were considered second class, and to be a Samaritan woman, you were down there with the animals. And Jesus sat with the woman and they had a theological discussion about living water. And Jesus revealed himself as Messiah to the Samaritan woman. And the Samaritan woman and the people of Samaria understood Jesus as Messiah before the Jewish people had. Very powerful. So the Gentiles had received in the Gospels Jesus, because anybody not a Jew was considered a Gentile. Just like in Quebec growing up, anybody who was not Roman Catholic when I was a kid was considered Protestant. So in the Protestant school we had the Jewish kids with us, and we said, you're not Protestant, you're Jewish. Oh no, anything not Roman Catholic is Protestant. So the same kind of thing was operating here. The Samaritans were considered to be Gentiles, even though they had all the Jewish practice, except they did not go and see the temple as central to their lives, and that the instructions of the Pharisees were not seen as being the ultimate priestly authority. And so here we have Jesus with this woman who was considered to be an outcast, but she's even more outcasted because she'd had five husbands and was living with somebody else. She got around a bit. But, and in that day, that was considered quite something. But Jesus was there, loving her and receiving her as an equal, and revealing the truth about himself to her, and she was able to hear it. And the Samaritan community were the ones who were responding to the truth about Jesus being Messiah, and gives courage to us who are not Jews that we too are received fully by God through the saving act of Jesus Christ. We often miss the significance of this reading. This reading was written late, about the year 100. And by this time the church was growing, but not growing within the Jewish community, but growing within the Gentile community. And this gospel was an affirmation to the Gentiles of the time that they too were reconciled with God through Christ. That they too had seen Messiah and were receiving the Messiah. We also see the Messiah. We too are reconciled. And it's our challenge in this Lenten season, We're almost at the midpoint of Lent. Wednesday is, I suppose, the midpoint of Lent. To see ourselves more reconciled, more together as one with Christ and with each other and with the world around us. And that's the challenge, because oftentimes we feel that we are estranged from people around us, but it's our job to be the agents of reconciliation with people around us. And we have to be prepared to be rejected. We have to be prepared that we'll not be understood. But that doesn't mean we stop being who we are. Yesterday in the funeral for George Ferguson, we had the Apostles' Creed. And we invited people to stand and to join saying it with us. Everyone had a copy. But a lot of people did not. They stood, but they did not say a thing. And there may be many reasons for that. But that doesn't mean that we throw away our relationship with all the people who won't say the creed or who cannot say the creed for their own reasons. It means that we still are working to be agents of reconciliation, the agents of love, the agents of building networks and community. On this Sunday of Lent, I want us to think about, am I reconciled to myself? Do I know that I am a person of love, created in love and loved by Jesus Christ, and that I can love myself? And with that energy of loving myself, use that energy not in conceit, but to go out and work at healing other people, work at drawing them closer to Jesus Christ through my words and my actions. That's part of the challenge. And so today, as we receive the sacrament, I invite you to have that sense of Jesus within, reconciling you to God and to yourself, but also to your neighbors. And I pray that we may be energized to go forward as the Easter people, a people of love, truth, and reconciliation. May God bless us all. Amen.